Afternoon. Again, join in welcoming everyone. We have several visitors. We have a good crowd. We appreciate your presence being here. I want to thank the congregation here for the opportunity to speak before you today. Brother John's gone to a meeting, so I get this opportunity, and that's a great thing. Our appeal today is to the Bible, to the Word of God. Everything that we say will hopefully portray what God wants us to preach. If there is something that I say that is contrary to God's will, please, you'd be my friend if you would tell me that so I can change that. Today's sermon, lesson, we're going to take lessons from the infirmities of Paul. We want to talk about some lessons that we can learn about Paul's infirmities. Our text will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'd like to turn over there. That's where we'll spend quite a bit of our time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll start reading in verse 7. Just to give us a little background before I do that, though, of course, Paul is writing the Corinthians. And a couple chapters ahead of that, in chapter 10, there were some of the Corinthians that thought Paul was walking according to the flesh. Now, we know that certainly was not the case. In verse 3 of 10, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we see he had weapons, but they are not carnal weapons. He was working for the Lord. In chapter 11, Paul talks a lot about his infirmities, and we'll discuss those some more. And then the first part of chapter 12, Paul is having some revelations or visions from the Lord. And that leads us into here on verse 7. Please follow along with me. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul has given us so many lessons that we can learn from his life and how he lived. Let's look at Paul's good attitude. No matter what Paul went through, he trusted in the Lord. Let it be so for us today. I have 5 points I want to discuss. The first one, life is filled with infirmities. For Paul and for us as well. We find in chapter 12 and verse 7 that Paul had this thorn in the flesh. It was an infirmity. We don't know what that was exactly, but he had it. If we turn back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, I want to read a few passages or a few verses here. Paul went into great detail about some of the things that he went through. Let's start there in verse 23 of chapter 11. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He not only carried with him those physical burdens, but he carried a mental burden, the care of all the churches. That was a mental anguish. Verse 29, "Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. What was Paul's attitude towards those things? It sums it up there in verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He gloried in the infirmities that he went through. Well, that's a pretty good description of the things that he had to suffer. Do we have to suffer anything like that today? Do we even come close? If I turn over back to chapter 12 and in verse 10, it gives a list there. What infirmities did he go through? He breaks them down. First, infirmities. What is that? A feebleness of body or mind. A sickness. Did he have that? He had a thorn in the flesh. Reproaches. An insult. A harm or injury to you. Was he ever injured or harmed? Necessities. Great distresses. Being needful. Was he ever needful? It tells us in the scripture we just read. He needed clothing. He needed food, water, warmth. He lacked some of the necessities of life. Persecutions. Just being persecuted in some way, some fashion. Paul definitely went through that. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he thrown in prison? Distresses, fifthly, is just a calamity, a mental anguish. We talked about him having that care for the churches. Was that not a mental anguish? We think about the church here at Corinth. We know the problems it had. Was that not a mental anguish to him when he wrote these letters to them? He had that mental anguish. Do we have such anguish today with the church in general? Or with our local congregation? Hopefully, there are several problems in the church. And we may have that mental anguish. We think about John 15, verse 20. That scripture there, it says, "Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." And this is Jesus speaking. "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." That was Jesus talking to his disciples. We are going to be persecuted. But isn't this also a comfort? Even though we're persecuted, what's the flip side of that? Those that hear us will obey, just like they obeyed Christ. There are some that will obey. Isn't that a comfort for the persecutions that we go through, that we can save a soul? That's the way Paul felt. Is it not worth it to save souls? Friends, if we are not being persecuted today, then we're not being the Christians we ought to be. We are told that we're going to be persecuted. If we are just fitting into the world, that's not going to make it to heaven. We have to be different. Our second point, the lessons that we can learn from the infirmities of Paul, is his prayer, prayerful. He prayed. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, he had this thorn in the flesh, and what did he do about it? "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." He didn't pray just once, prayed three times. How often do we pray? I would suggest that Paul believed in the power of prayer. He believed what James wrote in James 5 and 15, where it says, "And the power and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Paul believed in the power of prayer. Paul practiced what he preached in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." Did he do that? No doubt about it, because if we turn to 1 Timothy 1 and 3, Paul wrote Timothy, and there he said, "I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." It tells us right there, without ceasing, he prayed night and day for Timothy. Was that not a comfort to Timothy? If you think about someone praying for you that often, doesn't it comfort you to know that fellow Christians are praying for you? Paul let Timothy know that? He told him he was praying for him. Shouldn't we let our fellow Christians know we're praying for them? Let that be an encouragement to them. Paul not only prayed, but he accepted God's answer to his prayer. How well do we accept God's answers to our prayers today? What was the answer? Did Paul get the answer he wanted to that prayer? He asked in verse 8 that thorn in the flesh might depart from me. It didn't depart according to what we know here. God had an answer for him. What was that answer? That leads us into the third point that we can take away from the infirmities of Paul. God's grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for us. It was sufficient for Paul. Why can't it be sufficient for us today? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. That passage gives us a little insight of Paul's attitude towards God's grace. It says there, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The grace of God, I am what I am. That's why Paul was what he was, he tells us. That grace wasn't in vain, because he worked for the Lord. Is our grace in vain because we're not working for the Lord? He gave God the praise and he gave God the glory for what he was able to do. Second point under grace here is Romans 3, 23 and 24. A familiar passage. It says there, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We need God's grace. Paul knew that. We need to understand that today. It's only we are justified freely by His grace. The Lord told Paul that the gift of grace was sufficient for him. God has given us this favor. That's what grace is. This favor that we don't deserve. He gave Paul that. He gives each one of us that. Paul accepted the answer from the Lord. Do we do that today if we think about our prayer life? Sometimes it's not the answer that we think it should be. What was the Lord's answer? Or why was this the Lord's answer? Why did the Lord say this? It tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Weakness makes us stronger. That's not the mentality of us as humans, isn't it? Is it? But if it was made, Christ's strength was more complete, more accomplished through the weakness. Because of Paul's weakness, Christ was made stronger. Paul was made stronger. If we think about this, if everything in a person's life is perfect, we have no health issues, everyone is a Christian and is saved, we have no infirmities, how are we more likely or less likely to trust in the Lord? That's how we're made stronger. Those infirmities make us stronger in our faith. They made Paul stronger. We know and understand that there are other things besides grace that we need to be that save us. And so I want to clarify, we're not saved by grace alone. We just turn over to James chapter 2 and it talks about works and faith and works, and it takes both of those as well. And there's other things. But what if God gave us this answer to us today? And maybe this has been God's answer to us today. Did we or do we have the attitude that Paul had? Grace, God's grace is sufficient for us. Our fourth point that we can learn, lessons from Paul's infirmities. we learn how to endure. We think about how Paul endured these infirmities. How did he do it? Well, if we go back to the text in verse 9, and I'll just read that again. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." How did he endure? He went through them gladly. He did it with great pleasure. Verse 9 also, he gloried in them. He rejoiced. He had great joy having to endure such inflictions. In verse 10, it says there, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." He took pleasure in them. He was more than willing to do them. Why did he have this attitude? Again, this goes against nature of man. We don't want to go through such things. But he did it gladly. He endured things. 2 points I want to suggest why he had this attitude, and it comes from the text. In verse 9, the latter part, "I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He knew he would have more power in Christ if he went through these hardships, that he would be more effective for the Lord. Paul looked for ways to teach Christ in whatever situation he was in. This makes me think of the example of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. If we think about the opportunity that Paul took, if we turn back there, and in verse 24, we find that Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, thrown in prison, made their feet fast in the stocks even, it says. But what did they do after that? In verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They took that opportunity, didn't they? They taught in any way they could. Do we take the opportunity that we have today? We need to be like Paul and do such. And we know how this story turns out. The Philippian jailer and his family were saved. They were converted. That's what we want to accomplish today, just like Paul did. He endured these afflictions because the power of Christ rested upon him. The second point, why he had this attitude, in verse 10, it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's why he had this attitude, because when he's weak, he became strong. It makes our faith stronger to go through such things. When we go through physical trials, when we go through spiritual trials, that makes us stronger. We've all surely had that experience. When we have to stand fast for the sound doctrine, even when it's not popular among some brethren even, it makes us stronger. When I am weak, then I am strong. Our faith grows. Our determination for doing what the Lord wants strengthens. It grows. We're going to do what God wants. The fifth point, what lessons we can learn from the infirmities of Paul. We find that Paul was humble. How humble was Paul? Well, 1 Timothy 1:15, he called himself the chief of sinners. Would a proud person call himself a chief of sinners? He was not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because of what I did." That's how humble he was. What do we see of Paul's humility in the text here? I want to move up a couple of verses in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 12:5. And it says there, "Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." We find he gloried in his infirmities, not of himself. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We find that he was not proud in these, was he? He would only glory in his infirmities. He was happy that he had to endure those infirmities. And we talked about those revelations that God was giving him earlier. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, I've been given this thorn in the flesh. He didn't want to be exalted. Why not? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20 and 21, the same chapter there, Paul feels like he's going to be humbled again by God. Let's read there in verse 20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Paul was afraid he was going to be humbled again. If we think about, Paul had a hand in starting this church, didn't he, here at Corinth? And he knew there was problems now. How would that make us feel? Is that going to exalt someone knowing that he had a hand in starting this church and now there was sin in the camp, sin in the church? He was afraid he was going to be humbled again. Luke 14:11. I'm sure Paul knew, you know, what Christ's teaching about this. It says there, Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's Christ's teaching. If we're not humble here on earth, we're not going to be exalted in heaven. We must be humble. Paul did not try and get sympathy from everything he went through. Have you ever been around people that really work that and play that, want sympathy? Paul didn't do that. We don't want to have that attitude. Paul humbled himself continually. Let us have that same humility. That's the humility that we must have as Christians. That's the 5 points. Lessons that we can learn from the infirmities of Paul. There's many more. Paul trusted in the Lord no matter what. He showed us that Christians must grow through infirmities. We must expect that. And we must endure those. He showed us the importance of prayer throughout his life. If we look through everything that he wrote, the letters that he wrote, prayer is in his life. He helped us understand that God's grace is sufficient for us. We don't need everything else in this world. We don't need to try to gain all the riches of this world. God's grace be sufficient for us. He showed us how we need to endure such infirmities. We need to do it with gladness, with pleasure. We should want to. Isn't that a reasonable service? We think about Romans for us, after what Christ has done for us. That's a reasonable service. It's not too much to ask. He showed us humility. Do we have the humility that we need today? And finally, I just want to ask, how did Paul become such a strong Christian? We know how such a strong Christian he was. Beforehand, he was persecuting the church. He even consented unto Stephen's death there in Acts 7, in the first verse in Acts 8. He persecuted it as much as he could. Paul was a person, and whatever he did it wholeheartedly. Whether it be persecuting the church or whether it be working for the Lord. I would suggest that Paul's spiritual strength started at his conversion. And hopefully we can say that about our conversion today. If we have been baptized, that's when our spiritual strength started to grow. If we turn over to Acts 9, that is the conversion of Paul, of Saul. Acts chapter 9. We know he was on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. In verse 6 there, the Lord spoke to him. What's it say there? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul, you're going to be told something. Those things, you must do them. If we go over then to verse 17, we know that he went on in to Damascus. Ananias came to him. In verse 17, Ananias came in and said, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it have been nice to know exactly what Ananias told Paul? We know a few things that he must have heard. It doesn't say it here, but we know what we must do to become a Christian, don't we? It's told to us in the Bible. First of all, he had to hear something. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did he hear? He heard something. Did he believe? He must have had some belief, because we need belief to be saved. Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Did he believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? He did. Did he believe that everything of Christ's teaching that he needed to live and obey? He did. Well, he sinned, didn't he? We know he consented into Stephen's death and persecuted the church. Did he repent of those sins? Acts 2:38, on Pentecost, Peter's sermon, he told us, Peter did, that that's what we need to do. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Saul would have repented, wouldn't he? Did he confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Acts 8:37, the Ethiopian eunuch, what did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. We must confess Jesus. Was he baptized? The text tells us that. In verse 18, it says, there immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight and forthwith, and arose and was baptized. He must have been taught that one to be baptized, or he wouldn't have known. What did he do after that? In verse 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Immediately, he went to work. He remained faithful unto death. Let us always put our trust in the Lord, just like Paul did. Do it. We need to do it today. When we put our trust in God, then we're going to do what he asks us to do. Do you want to go to heaven? Do we all want to go to heaven? We just talked about what needs to happen. If you've not done that, there's an opportunity right now. If you're not guaranteed another moment, another minute, take advantage of the opportunity. Maybe you've done that and you've fallen away, or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Please take the opportunity right now. Come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.